Because for me, it's just like, fuck you. We can compete against you.
The Fantasy Football Show. Hello, everybody. My name's James. You know that anyway. Welcome to Tottenham, where Suj has, in fear, bottled it and left the country, such as his fear of what Tottenham Hotspur may do to him tonight. I could have done a one-sided podcast, but I thought, nah, let's get a West Ham replacement in. Let me introduce you to Shamil Galani. How are you, Sham?
I'm good. How are you, James?
I'm very well, mate. Looking forward to the game tonight, which we'll talk about, no doubt. Introduce yourself to the patrons, to those who may not know you, mate.
I'm Sham, otherwise known as FPL Two Guys One Cup on Twitter. Do a podcast with Rob Panda, you also know, called FPL Happy Hour, and West Ham fan, you know, from the kind of like 10, 12 years old, currently a season ticket holder for 3 years now, and looking forward to the game tonight.
What postcode do you sit in?
Very far away.
Now, where do you sit in seriousness?
So block 204, which is a row behind Suj. And actually, you can see the whole pitch really well from there. So Dan, FPL fella, who's also a West Ham fan, he's got some seats lower down, like 104. And during the game against City, he said, oh, I've got a couple of seats near me. Why don't you come down and watch it? So we watched the second half down there. Actually, I couldn't see the pitch very well, like overall. I like to see it from the top, and actually I think where me and Suj sit is actually a really good view. I much prefer the view there than lower down.
It's too far from the pitch, but in terms of the height level, it's great. I'm up a tier tonight in the away end, obviously, and when I tweet, you know, little pin, yep, I'm at Westfield Shopping Centre. I know people are going to go, oh my god, you're so far from the pitch. I would rather be up there than in the lower tier.
Yeah,
because I want that perspective of the game. Your lower tier is too flat. It's part of the problem as well. That's why you probably struggle to get a perspective. Arsenal's the same. Arsenal's away end is fucking terrible in terms of trying to get a perspective of the game. You're going for the atmosphere and all that sort of jazz. Why, Sham, have West Ham started the season so slowly?
I don't know. It's difficult. I was saying on my podcast with Rob that in pre-season, I felt we were really sluggish. I think the hangover from last year and the European tour, the players, we didn't have a big squad last year. And I think it all just catching up on them. You know, Jared Bowen, who we relied so heavily on last season, has started off shit. I know I can swear on this podcast.
So I'm not even going to ask. Fuck you like, mate.
Started off really slowly. And I don't know, what that doesn't seem cohesion. Rice hasn't been great. I think the main players that we rely upon, like Rice and Bowen, haven't started off the season great. And I think it's because of last season. Now that we've started to sign players, you know, 8 signings, which I'm really impressed about, got to give credit to the board there. We spent a lot of money. I think we'll now start to see the West Ham of last season. But whether or not we can get that cohesion together, I don't know. That's the only concern. You know, 8 new players, a lot of them will probably be starting as well. I don't know. But I'm just, yeah, not happy with the start of the season. But I predicted it. I knew this is how we would start.
Why?
Because I could see us in pre-season. We just didn't, there wasn't that creativity, that sluggish. Moyes is trying to try this back 5. And the problem with the back 5 is that there doesn't seem to be any creativity. You saw in the Villa game on Sunday, we started off with a back 5. And that first half, whilst we looked defensively sound and Villa didn't really create much threat, Benrahma, you know, who's been our best player this season so far, okay, only 4 games in, but he's been our best player. There's no space for him in that side. When you go in back 5. So we changed to a back 4 and there seemed to be a lot more creativity there. I think that's one of the main reasons he's trying to try different things. The new signing, I don't know how to pronounce it, Paqueta? Yeah. I think if he's going to offer a lot more creativity in that side, if we are going to go for a back 5, so he maybe will replace Fornals. Whereas Benrahma, you know, you can't really play him in essentially a central midfield spot. He's either got to play left wing back or up front if you're playing back five. So I think that's what we lacked. And I think it's try he's Moyes is trying out new things this season. So yeah.
What does he play tonight? System wise.
So I was thinking about this. I think he will probably start again with a back five and move to a back four. If I think the good thing about the back five is the first half, we look solid. Yeah, it's difficult to get past us. However, we don't offer, you know, there wasn't really any goal threat. So maybe he'll start off a back five and go to a back four. One thing that I did like that Moyes has done this season, and specifically against in the Villa game, is his in-game substitutions. Last season, it was like 80th minute before he would do any subs. This season, we saw in the City game, he brought in Scamacca on the 55th minute, and he's making earlier subs. That could be because we've got a bigger squad this year. I don't know.
I was going to say, there's a little bit of quality on that. You look at Scamacca and think, I'll bring him on. Now, yeah, exactly. If he plays again tonight, you're looking at Antonio, I think I'll bring him on. Whereas there wasn't an alternative before, really, right?
So maybe it's that. I always thought maybe he didn't have a plan B, but we saw on Sunday, he was just like, right, first half's not working, I'm changing it up, moved to back four, took off Emerson, brought in Benrahma. So I think he might start with a back five, but that, you know, which is difficult because it's like, do you want to be solid for the first 45 minutes? But then not have that creativity and then maybe bring on that creativity in the second half, because Benrahma has been our best player. And I don't know where you fit him in that side if you're going back five. So, yeah, I think he'll start a back five again.
Yeah, I think the interesting dilemma for the game tonight is if you pick a back four, you're probably more likely to beat us. But you're also more likely to get beat.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You're treading the fine line between... We know, even, and I know the game was against Nuno last year when you beat us at Stratford. We had a lot of the ball. We did nothing. It was a pretty shit game. You deserved to win by the end. But you just said, have the ball, break us down, see what you've got. You played a back five against us at Tottenham. And I know, in fairness, you were seriously handicapped by the fact you'd had Seville on the Thursday beforehand. So you were knackered, and you could tell on the day that you were knackered and you weren't at 100% physicality. But it didn't work with like Johnson at wing back and stuff. It invited the pressure too much, and Tottenham still managed to find the holes in between the centre backs to get Sonny in, particularly in the first half and stuff. So there's a balancing act between being too negative and also trying to win the game. Someone asked me on Slack the other day, how would you set West Ham up? So all I said was, give us the ball. Which sounds ridiculous. Give us the ball. The more we have of the ball, arguably the less likely we are to beat you. We had 40% possession at Forest on Sunday. It's what we do when we have got it that we can be really ruthless. The more you have of the ball, potentially the greater the space is to obviously counter-attack and expose. And it's a balancing act, right? Because the crowd will obviously want you to go for it. High tempo, all that sort of thing, might not be the best way to start the game.
Yeah, but I think that the partnership that we've got of Zuma and Correa, I think is how you pronounce it. I think that partnership was solid on Sunday. I was really impressed with them too. Cresswell in there. You know, I think if we go with a back four, I think you're right. I think we are strong enough defensively, but I think we're more likely to get beat, like you say. I don't know. We'll see. I would like us to be more creative and go with four at the back. Just because I think we should just go for it. You know, we always give 100%, the crowd will be behind them, especially against in the Spurs game. So yeah, I would like to see us back four, but I think he'll start back five.
So if it's back four, we presume, I guess Soufal will come in for Johnson.
Yep.
Either way, I'm guessing, no matter what the system, because Johnson potentially got an injury on Sunday. If it's back four, what we said, Cresswell or Emerson at left back? If it's
back four. I think he'll probably start Cresswell. I think he'll probably start Cresswell. There's rumours that Paquita might start as well, although I don't know if he will. I don't know if he'll go straight back in. I find that extremely unlikely
because he hasn't trained.
No, that's what I was thinking. But there's some people were saying, oh, he may start. I'd like him to start, but I don't think he'll go straight in. And then, yeah, so that would be the back four. And then it'll be Suchek and Rice, Benrahma, Bowen, Fornals, and then Scamacca up front.
You want to shoehorn Benrahma into this team? It's what it sounds like to me at the moment.
He's been our best player, really creative. You know what, is on the ball, he's so good. He's, you know, he's started off really, really well.
He's a frustrating figure, isn't he?
He is. That's the thing. So he sometimes it feels like he's got no end product. He's just but he'll go around, you know, I think his biggest quality is being able to dribble and go past and he'll shoot outside the box. But sometimes his just end product is just so shit. He's either amazing or shit. There is no in between with Benrahma. He's either terrible or really, really good.
Okay. Why, you said to me off camera before we started, you were feeling a bit more negative about things than what Suge has shown.
Yeah.
Why?
Because so Suge, he's kind of like, I like what I've seen. We're just not performing that well at the moment, but I know we will get better once everything starts to integrate more. I was more like, what we've seen is not good enough. Like, this is not what we expect now. And I felt like the players weren't giving 100%. I've been really disappointed with Bowen this season. He's just not shown anything from last season. Rice hasn't been great. He's been sloppy off the ball. He's been fine, but on the balls, there's just not that much pace. You know, towards the end of last season, one of the things that we wanted to see from Rice were those driving runs that he makes and starting to make, kind of like the Kante kind of role, where he was trying to adapt from a defensive midfielder to a kind of being able to, you know, drive. I haven't seen that from him this season. He did it once in the Villa game on Sunday, but other than that, I haven't really seen it. So, like I said at the beginning, the core players haven't been performing. The players that we relied upon haven't been doing well, which is why I was kind of more negative in the sense that if we can't get these main players to play, how are we expecting anyone else to?
Are your season expectations different now then? Are they lower than what they were pre-game week one?
Yes, yes. I would be happy with a top 10 finish now, whereas before it was got to go for Europe again, whereas now I've kind of looked, because everyone stepped up as well. You know, Newcastle are doing a lot better. The whole league is stepping up. So if the whole league is stepping up, then if we're not stepping up, then we're going to drop back. So I would be happy with a top 10 finish and a deep European run or a cup run.
I was going to say that'll come with a caveat of you probably want to get to sort of the last four of Europe or something like that again. Yeah. No, that's fair enough. On Bowen, what do you think it is then?
I think, you know, I was listening to the West Ham Way, which is a West Ham podcast, and one of the things which the ITKs does, and he was saying maybe, and this isn't, you know, factual, but he thinks maybe his head was turned after, you know, being in the England camp and being around Arsenal and Liverpool players, Chelsea players, all of that. There was rumours that he was going to go to Liverpool. Maybe his head's kind of been a little bit turned, saying, I don't want to be here anymore. There isn't any factual evidence in that, but that could be an option. That could be a reason why. The system of 3-5-2 doesn't fit him because he's playing up front, and I think he's a better winger than he is a striker. So it could be that Moyes trying out different styles, and he doesn't like playing up front, because when we play with one up front, he's better on the right wing. We can see that. And in the Villa game, he was playing slightly better. I'm not really sure with him. I think it's more formation than anything else. The 3-5-2 doesn't suit his style of play.
But he has played it, certainly in some of the bigger games. And I do think from the outside as well, when I reflect on the games you've had so far, City is City. Fine, okay, you really weren't in it. You had so little of the ball. Brighton at home has been a bogey game for you anyway.
Yep.
Since they came up, you've not performed well against them. And they are, when they're all fully fit and firing, a really difficult team to play against. At Forest, you shouldn't have lost. You've gone to Villa and won. Okay, the game was pretty dreadful on Sunday. But you go away from home, you win, you fuck off, you don't really care. Has it been that bad?
It's more his actual play, like in terms of before we used to see lots of shots from him kind of, he used to be the creative spark or him creating something from somewhere, and he hasn't been doing that. And I think with him playing right up top, he can't get into the game as much. And that is what I think, you know, where he's gone wrong. In terms of overall being West Ham, has it been that bad? we can't be losing to signings like Forrest if we want to be able to be in Europe again. We can't be doing that. We shouldn't have lost, but we did. We did create enough, but we just couldn't finish it. And that's the problem.
Yeah, but then Chelsea lost to Southampton last night, mate. Lost to Leeds last week. You wouldn't say Chelsea can't finish top four.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So you're more liable to get silly results at this stage of the season, aren't you?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't look at United. United were what, bottom? United win tonight. They could be, I think they could go to fourth or fifth or something if they win tonight.
Yeah. It's more the it's more the performances that I've been disappointed with rather than, you know, the Forest, we played better. Last week, Villa game, we didn't really have much, but we ended up, you know, going away with it and getting the 1-0 scrappy win, which I don't mind. At the end of the day, a win's a win. But it's the performances of last season that I enjoyed. I enjoyed watching West Ham last season. I loved it. Just that there wasn't many games last season that I can look back and go, we weren't in it from the beginning. I think maybe the Spurs game, where that's probably one of the only games where like we didn't have a chance in that game. We played shit. There weren't many last season that I could look back and go, we didn't have a chance in this.
Yeah, and I think in fairness, there was mitigating circumstances. I said it was a Seville game. I mean, Arsenal away stands out as a bad day as well. But yeah, not too many. Like I know I'm going tonight. You're going to give me a game. There's no circumstance where I foresee Tottenham going to West Ham and winning 3-0, for example, unless it's 1-0 late on and you throw the kitchen sink and we score a couple of late goals on the counter-attack or something like that. I know I'm in for a proper game. How is the rivalry for you from a West Ham perspective? Because Serge will always say, oh, there's no hate. You know what he's like. Is there for you?
There's not hate, but they are the...
You can fucking say there's hate.
No, you know what? There isn't hate. but they are like, and I'm not afraid to admit it, they are the one side that I love playing. Like if I look at every team in the league, if there's one game, if you could say you can only go to one game, which would it be? And that would be playing Spurs. I enjoy that game because the intensity that West Ham always bring. All right, last season, like we said, that you know it was after the Sevilla hang up, but generally we always give Tottenham a good game or attempt to anyway. And I can't say consistently against any other side in the league that's top six we do that with. It's kind of up and down. And that's why I enjoy the game, because I know we'll always give 100%. The fans are behind them. And, you know, generally with Spurs fans, I love to beat them just because I feel like Spurs think that they're better than they are, generally.
Here we go.
And so it's nice. It's nice to beat Spurs. I wouldn't go as far as say it's our cup final, but for me, I enjoy the game between us.
But it's interesting. You even say that yourself. You know that you're going to be up for Tottenham. Yeah. You know you're up for that game tonight. I think even though if I was to listen to your words as an outsider and what you said, I would think Tottenham are winning tonight. But I know better. I think you think better as well that you'll come and you'll show up tonight.
Yeah, I think we will. If last season is anything to go by in those big games, you know, beating Liverpool, beating Chelsea, we should bring it. But my concern is what formation does he play? Is he going to be conservative and just try and go for a draw? Because if he does, then it's going to be a shit game and we'll just sit back defensively and let Tottenham come up at us. We'll try and get on the break. But again, are our players going to be like Bowen? What we relied upon last season was playing on the break, Bowen flashing up quickly, 4 hours, tail Benrahma to Bowen, and off you go. That was how we played last season. It was always on the break. That was our best goals. And I think Bowen is, I keep mentioning, but he's key to it because he is a lot of the reason why we did so well last season on the break. So it's whether or not we can get the main players to perform tonight.
So Tottenham fans think they're better. And I know you're not saying me, you're saying generalisation. Tottenham fans think they're better than they are. You're fine.
I think Tottenham fans, and I'm probably not going by the last couple of years, but I mean previously, previous to that, I feel like Tottenham feel that they should be a top two club, top three club, top four club, that kind of top, I'd say top four club. But before Conte, I don't think your side is good enough to do that. And
great.
Yeah. However, since Conte, I actually think you guys are a top four club. But in the past, they're like, oh, West Ham are shit. Little old West Ham will be like, just saw us as shit on your shoe. Basically, that's how I felt.
I have absolutely used the phrase about you before to say you are the shit on the bottom of my shoe that I can't get rid of.
Yeah,
you're always there. You're fucking shit, but you're always there. I honestly, I put my hands up. I have used that to describe you in the past. I do think there is a snobbery nature to the Tottenham West Ham rivalry from Tottenham fans. I think that's fair to say. I think part of that is we have, if you want to include Chelsea as well, three, let's say, feisty London derbies. The one that really matters to us is Arsenal, but you can feel it when we play Chelsea or West Ham. You can feel it on the streets. To be honest, it's probably more tense on the streets against Chelsea or West Ham than it is against Arsenal, to tell you the truth. Arsenal is just the outright hatred. It does feel like there's often more venom about the West Ham and Chelsea games. I think the snobbery towards West Ham derives from, I think, culturally. I think it's worth saying, because Chelsea play in Kensington and Arsenal play in an upmarket area as well, whereas a lot of your fans are going out to the east and life can be a bit more difficult, as it is for many Tottenham fans. There's loads of Tottenham fans gone out that way as well. And also, when you compare the three teams, Arsenal and Chelsea are regular European qualifiers. You haven't been. Yep. So I think when you put the four in a pool, there is always the, it's West Ham. And I admit that it is like that. I don't feel that way in terms of the snobbish nature of treat you for granted in any way or anything like that. But I think, yes, there is an undercurrent of belief amongst Tottenham fans that they are bigger and better than West Ham. Then that said, you'd look at league tables over the last 20 years or so, and it's difficult to argue that point. You haven't been on a whole competitive with us regularly. You have over the last couple of years, but not regularly. And I think that's where it derives from. I think Chelsea fans feel similar about Tottenham, by the way. Kind of like an undercurrent of, we'll be better than you.
Yeah.
In most cases. That's probably where it comes from. I mean, does that bother you?
No, I think, look, it is what it is, right? Like, for as long as you're going to be thinking that, we're going to be thinking, we're going to beat you because you think shit of us. And if there's one side, if you could say to me, right, you're only going to get one victory this year to beat someone in the league, who would it be against? For me personally, I'd want to beat Spurs. Not City, not Liverpool, not Chelsea. Spurs is who I would want to beat. Because for me, it's just like, fuck you. We can compete against you. Whereas if we were to beat City or anything like that, I don't think they have that snobbish kind of your shit for us kind of attitude, where I feel that from Spurs fans.
No, but then up north, you might have that. I don't know, but you probably have Liverpool fans probably feel that way about Everton now.
Yeah.
There's probably so many other clubs in the Northwest where I'm sure City and United look at clubs like Blackburn and Burnley and Bolton, and you're bigger than all of them, by the way. But you get what I'm saying. There's a massive drop off from yourselves down to Palace, Fulham, Brentford, Watford, QPR. These teams are irrelevant. And all I mean by that is people say, London derbies. We're not. Do you feel when you play Palace, you think that's a difficult game? But you get that London derby kind of vibe when you play Palace. No. You don't. There's the four clubs, and you are part of that group. You're not below that group. In terms of London derbies, people say London derbies, I really think of yourselves. I include you with that, with Chelsea and Arsenal. I think it's fair to say as well, to clarify for those particularly overseas, the reason West Ham hate Tottenham is based very much on geographical as well.
Mm.
We are the closest rival to you. You can put a case for Leighton Orient and stuff like that. But in terms of top level, whereas for us, it's obviously Arsenal, Chelsea and us are miles away from each other. There is legitimate reason behind this hate. You have a rivalry with Wimbledon, which is, Millwall. Which is spawned a lot more from the off the field stuff, right?
Yeah.
But your local rival really is us. So I get it.
Yeah, I think... I feel there's only two clubs, if you were to say, you know, I know obviously, like you said, Palace, Fulham, Arsenal, etc. But where I think London Derby and West Ham, I think Chelsea and Spurs. Those are the only two clubs. I don't know why Chelsea, but I just feel not like Arsenal. When we play that. No, I don't even feel like it's a London Derby. Like, obviously it is, but I don't feel like it's a derby when I'm watching that game. There isn't. I don't feel like there's as much kind of rivalry between West Ham and Arsenal. It's Chelsea and Spurs.
I think it's because you... I mean, I've heard plenty of stand up if you hate Tottenham, like West Ham and Arsenal fans and West Ham and Chelsea fans joining in with each other, because you all hate us the most.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say for me it's Spurs and then Chelsea.
I think that's part where the snobbery comes in as well. We look at all three clubs and go, you all hate us more than you hate any of the others.
Yeah.
Which is factual.
Yeah.
Because if you ask an Arsenal fan, they'd say Tottenham. Who would you rather beat? Tottenham. You ask a Chelsea fan, they'd say Tottenham. You ask a West Ham fan, they'd say Tottenham. So I think there's that part of it as well. And that's where the above the station idea, in terms of a generalisation of fan base. Yeah. Because we look at it and go, we all fucking hate us the most. I mean, Chelsea's still not got no explanation for why they hate us so much. I get it with yourselves and in geographical. How much does it mean to you to win? What does it mean to win tonight?
I think it'd be massive in terms of...
Forget league, emotionally.
Yeah. Emotionally. As for me, it is the one game that I would want to. Second game. So the first game would be Spurs away, and then the second game would be Spurs at home. Just for me, that's just how it is. Like, I feel like that's a massive game. Last season, I couldn't make the home game because I was somewhere else, and I was really disappointed that I wasn't able to make it. so it would be big for our season, but emotionally, it would be massive. I think that's the same for a lot of West Ham fans as well.
What about losing?
If we lose, I think it's more like, all right, fine. They're doing really well. We know as West Ham fans, Spurs are on the up this season with Conte. So if we lose, it's kind of expected with the way that we're playing at the moment. I'd be surprised if we did win, but I'm expecting us to draw or lose. Like, I would be happy with a draw. If you said to me now, one all tonight, would you take it? I'd be like, yeah. But I wouldn't be surprised if we lose.
I mean, it's interesting, just removing from the emotion a little bit. Even if we lose tonight, we stay third, which is it's really weird to be in that position this early in the season.
This early on as well, yeah.
Yeah, really, because of obviously Brighton lost last night, and then there's a gap, obviously Chelsea lost as well. It's really, really weird to be in that position. That does concern me a little bit. Going in tonight, that we haven't dropped in the league. You can these psychological things can play on your mind and stuff. I don't go into any game, probably other than against the fellow Big Six opponents, and ever think anything other than I'd take a draw. But there are certain places at certain times. I think playing Brighton, I think going to Newcastle, and I think playing yourselves, where you can definitely group it in that category. Where you go, I said this time last week, if we took 7 points from Forest, yourselves, and Fulham, that would be fine. And on paper, there's no doubt that you're the most difficult fixture of the three for many reasons, on field and off field. So, I mean, if I leave tonight and it's a draw, I'm not disappointed. It's better than getting beat, no doubt about it. And I'm sure you'll beat one of the Big Six at home at some point during the season. It might be against us tonight. So now it's a very difficult game. It's just the mentality shifting now back towards how it was under Pochettino of going into these games, and the expectancies right through the roof now, despite the fact we don't play like the other top teams in this league.
Yeah. What did you think of your game on Saturday?
Didn't play well at all, to be honest. I was quite impressed with Forest, as I said on Monday's pod. I don't find it acceptable that Tottenham go somewhere like that and are under 50% possession. I don't think that should be accepted as the norm. But it's also the best way for us to win football matches at the moment, because when we break, we're devastating. The reality is Forest dominated the majority of the game. You put the chances on the table, destroy them on XG and stuff. Even if you take the penalty out, still destroy them on XG. The amount of counter-attacking situations we have and stuff. And it's probably the best way to hurt you tonight as well. Both sides are obviously better at basically counter-attacking, both us and you. So I think in this league, you've already said it about the difficulty now in terms of the standard massively improving, that any away win, you get it, you leave, you'd be happy. So yeah, the performance could have been better. I don't think we're clicking. I think it's a good sign that we've probably played well so far this season for probably an hour in total and have got 10 points from four games. Means that there's a level to go to and we're beginning to show consistency. I mean, I think if we win tonight, that's an incredible start to take 13 points from a first five that includes two proper away London derbies. Would be a phenomenal start.
Do you enjoy watching?
Forest will beat some good teams. They beat you, right? And yeah. You can say undeserved, but beat you.
Do you enjoy watching Spurs at the moment, the way that you're playing?
Yeah.
Entertainment-wise?
It's not how I'd want to play. And I described this, I think, on my stream yesterday, that like you have to accept what I watched with the previous two managers, right? That this feels like Brazil 1970. So do I think Tottenham are the most attractive team in this league? No. And I think one of the things people used to label at me when I used to moan about Mourinho was, oh, you just hate defensive football. Well, a lot of Conte's football is quite defensive, but I see the plan. I see the structure. There's something I can believe in. It wasn't something I could ever invest in the way that Mourinho or Nuno Santo were trying to do it. I can invest in this because what we do actually, when we do have the ball, we play nice stuff. It's not getting lumped into channels and Sun run after it and stuff like that. There is clear structure in terms of patterns of play that you can see all the time. Fullbacks into centre midfielders, round the corners into wide tens and spring off of their third man runs. There are so many things to admire about what we do with the ball. And I think we have moments, like if you look at, say, Southampton opening day, we had a 20-minute spell there in the second half. And we've had a few of these, particularly early in second halves at Tottenham, where we just literally destroy teams, overwhelm them. And you think about like Newcastle last year and stuff as well. Even quite a lot of that game against you, we thoroughly dominated last year. So what we don't do, which I dislike a lot, is I feel playing teams like Forest, we should have control. And we don't. And that bothers me and annoys me. But then I can also read it and see the signs that we could have 65% possession tonight and get beat 1-0. We might have 35, 40% possession and win 1-0. Like I can see how the game can develop in both of those two scenarios tonight. And the chances are the team with less of the ball tonight will probably win, which is mad. But it's a lot to do with top-level football, exposing the opposition, facing less men in terms of people to take on when you break into the opposition's half, rather than finding that low block and a wall of 10 players to try and sit and break through. It's not easy. Can be West Ham, can be Bournemouth. If you've got a block and it's all kind of narrow and stuff, it's not easy to play through. And the one thing we miss, which sounds like you want, having Benrahma in the team, is kind of the creativity. Lucas Paqueta is probably going to give you that. He's also possibly going to give you a bit of a headache in terms of where you fit him in, unless you play him as a 10 in a back four. But a lot of the signings make me think that perhaps Moyes wants to head more towards a back three. That's what we've speculated on. We have a clear identity and system in how we play, Sham. There's pros and negatives to that. You know exactly what you get from my team tonight, right? You could almost name the 11. You know how the system's going to be. There aren't going to be huge variations of that. There are certain intricacies that are happening now, particularly around Emerson Royal playing inverted positions, which is quite cute. This is quite new and stuff. Is it free flowing? The best football in the league? No, but then we ain't got the best team in the league. We haven't got a team really. People say the front three, but take out the front three, it's still a level below Chelsea and Arsenal on paper, in my opinion. But it's the way we play, and the manager makes people think, yeah, Tottenham will probably finish top four this year.
Yeah. What do you think's happened to Sonny this season? Is he like, obviously I haven't watched much Spurs games. Is he playing badly? Or
No, I wouldn't say that. I think there's probably a greater focus on him. I think a lot of his returns, if you reflect on it, back end of last season, teams like Norwich away, Villa away, Leicester at home, didn't have huge amounts to play for, and therefore space is normally a little bit easier to find. I think people are obviously conscious of his movements and play certain systems and individuals to part deal with that problem. I think he was fine game week one. He didn't take his chances. He missed sitters. He missed one unbelievable sitter in the first half that he could normally close his eyes and tie his hands behind his back and he'd score. At Chelsea, he was quiet, but I've spoken about this for a long time, that he can be quiet. in games like that where they get really intense. To be honest, tonight's another one where it can be like that. Wolves at home is difficult, struggling to break them down. They played very well first half. We didn't play well as a team. And he wasn't great on Sunday, but he had one brilliant effort in the first half that went just over. And you thought, oh, yeah, that's the Sonny I know. And he had one coming off the right, which he hit straight at the keeper in the second half as well. And it could be, Sham, that on a different day in those four games, he's got three goals and no one's saying anything. Yeah. So I have no huge concerns. He's obviously a top-level player. I don't think like it's not a case of he's not involved. Like you're saying with Bowen, it just feels off it. And I think Bowen's involvement has been part of the problem quite a lot in these games. It's not that case with Sonny, and he just offers you such a threat.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think that Richarlison, like Sonny's got threat with Richarlison there to replace him? Not obviously long term, but I mean, within the next few games that Richarlison replaces Sonny.
Yeah. Because if Richarlison performs better consistently than Son, eventually he'll take his place, won't he? Yeah. Might be hard to believe, but Sonny's getting on towards 30. Maybe we've just had the peak. It's gone. I don't think that's quite the case. But yeah, I think Sonny is a player who probably does need that arm around him, which Conte's given him at the moment as well. That arm around him, say, look, I do love you. You are first choice, that kind of thing. Whereas other players need the opposite. They need the competition to inspire them and stuff. And it might be that he's having a negative on Sonny where he's looking at him going, fucking kid who's come in is pretty decent as well, actually. I wouldn't say put him out. But yeah, I longer term, if Richarlison keeps performing well and Sonny doesn't, eventually takes place in the team. Please, for the FPL listeners, don't overstate those words. We're talking a long way off here. But of course, at some point, Richarlison's going to play. If he doesn't start tonight, he's got to start on Saturday because he's deserving of it. And we've got too many games coming up with the Champions League and stuff. So there'll be rotation. But even Kane will get rotated at some point, as I've said. But I don't have huge concerns on Sonny, mate.
What did you think of your Champions League draw? You booked your tickets?
No, I'm not going. I was half hour behind the draw, so I got out of bed on the Saturday morning and it was already out and I knew already I had a massive problem. And it was just, it's become quite expensive to justify. People keep sending me, honestly, the fucking DMs I've had the last week. People sending me, I found these cheap flights for you. First flight gets in after fucking kickoff. what do you want me to go for? Like, seriously. And I had someone else was telling me, someone else showed me these cheap flights. One was going out on a Sunday night and coming back on a Friday morning. Brilliant. Yeah, great. So I'm now on fucking holiday for a week, or am I going to a football match? Like, which one is it? So I appreciate people trying to help me and stuff. But yeah, I think of all these things. We've looked at flying to Porto and flying to Faro. And it's not ridiculous. It is ridiculously expensive now. You're talking about, I mean, just flights now to get decent. You're talking about $550, $600 per person.
So you're going to go to any of them, do you reckon?
Nah, probably not. Probably not. There's a deal Sport Options doing for Marseille, which I might consider, still going to be about £300 or so. I'm not desperate to go, Sham. I've spoken about it before. I'm extremely lucky that I've ticked them all. I've ticked them all the ones I feel like I had to tick. It was a case, Sporting Lisbon really appealed to me because they don't normally get in. I kind of see them as the third wheel in Portugal behind Benfica and Porto. Although they got to the last 16 last year, they don't always get in. And I think, I haven't seen Spurs in Portugal. And I haven't seen Tottenham in the Champions League for nearly 3 years in terms of going abroad and stuff. I want to go. The reality is, it's not justifiable from the cost perspective. And I could have done it earlier and got something for like £300 return, £350 return. And you let it go. And then once you go in and then the add-ons, like, oh yeah, $19.99 to book your seat. And you put that on the fucking cost in the first place and stuff. So no, when you look at it, it's just not justifiable, unfortunately. If it had been later, what didn't help was, because it's such short notice, essentially the turnaround is 2 weeks, so the flights weren't cheap anyway. If it had been game 5 or 6, it would have been a lot cheaper in the first place to then justify it, I think. There has to be, unfortunately, cost of living is going to bite all of us. It has to be some point, as much as I've got the obsession and bug, and I want to go, where you just go, I can't justify that.
Oh, that's fair enough.
And it got to that point.
It's you should stay away from Frankfurt as well. I know you're
I'm not going to Frankfurt.
I was going to say, I know you're not into the hooliganism and all that stuff anyway, but they are not a nice bunch of fans.
To be honest, with Frankfurt as well, it's my missus, it's Katie's 40th, the day after we play Frankfurt.
Right.
So obviously, I would have, if I went, I'm obviously going to be in Germany the morning of her 40th birthday, which, I mean, as you said, I might be dead, which might be the best might be the best birthday present she's ever had. All right, I've got rid of him. But no, match day three was the one. That's what I was saying to Dad even before we knew. I said, match day three is possibly going to be a bit of a problem. It would have been even worse if it was a Wednesday. You go, yeah, I'm fucking off first thing Wednesday morning. See you Thursday. I'm gone for the whole day. No, it's a big deal. Not that we're having a big party or a celebration. But, you know, you got to keep her happy sometimes, don't you?
Yeah.
No intention to go to Frankfurt. I love the idea of going to the Velodrome in Marseille. Would be absolutely great. I just don't really want to go to Marseille. People say, South of France is beautiful and stuff. I know, I don't get you wrong, but I also remember England, Tunisia. I remember England, Russia. I've seen the problems that other English fans, Chelsea and Liverpool, have had in Marseille over the last 20 years or so. I mean, I can't be asked for it, Sham.
Yeah, I know. You don't like all of that.
If it was, the thing is as well, I could book Marseille now. It's the last group game of the group, so it could be really important. It could also be a dead fucking rubber.
Yeah.
Paid a fortune to go to Munich 3 years ago and watch Mourinho put a reserve team out. Fucking hell, mate. As if the first team under him wasn't bad enough. So I think, no, let's hold on. There's certain things it opens up. So I've got a little bit more money to say, yeah, I'm definitely going to go to Old Trafford in the league, for example, which is a Wednesday night. I want to get to as many away league games as I can this year. So hopefully we'll get through. And there'll be, I could still end up spending a fortune in the knockout stages, right? So,
yeah.
What did you think of your draw? I've never heard of the teams we've drawn. That's not true, actually.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's like as tough as last year. Obviously, it's a stage down, isn't it?
It shouldn't be.
So, yeah. So, I'm just as confident as I was then. I looked at when the Europa League draw came out last year, I looked at the sides and I went, we should be beating all of them. And I feel no different now. Anderlecht will be good. Looking forward to that one. See if I can get tickets away. But away tickets are so difficult to get. Any away tickets, even for the league, is really, really tough.
So Anderlecht, you will really, 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 really struggle. So I booked to go to Brussels. We had them in the UEFA Cup in 2015, I think. Booked everything, Eurostar, that bit's brilliant because it's such a doddle, go on the train. Couldn't get a ticket though, mate. So the thing is as well, because it's so easy, Brussels essentially, it's no different to going to Newcastle.
Yeah.
The train would be more expensive, but in terms of how long it takes you, it's fucking doddle. It's 2 hours on a train. Newcastle takes you three. So it's just like a normal away game. So everyone wants to go, mate.
Yeah, this is a problem. Going to away games is tough. Like me and Suj have said, we wanted to try, you know, like Sevilla last season with the final. Obviously, if we had reached there, we'd already set up, ready to go. We want to go to some away games, but it's really tough to get tickets. We just don't. It's one of those catch-22s. We don't have enough points to get it, but you can't go to the games if you don't have enough points. So how are you ever supposed to get enough points? Like, it's a catch-22.
Go to Bucharest, mate.
I don't think I'll get a ticket.
Really?
Yeah.
Big stadium?
They all sell out. It always sells out. They all sell out. I'll try. Depends on the prices of the flights and everything, right? But I'll try.
I think, you know, FCSB is the famous Steaua Bucharest.
Yes.
Is the, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think that we're going to do a Tottenham special on Steaua Bucharest, I think, before you match up with them. Do you play them quite early or is it the middle games?
We play them at home the first one, and then
first one,
and then away the last one.
Yeah, I want to do something on them at some stage. I mean, it's cool. There's the naughty stories, right? Callum Mates is going, yes, James, I want to do that with you. Yeah, maybe we can look at that possibly. Right, Cham, brilliant. Thanks so much. I wish you the very best of luck tonight, mate. Score prediction, please.
1-1.
Yeah, I'm the same. I think this can go either way. I think if both teams play to their absolute maximum, we probably win at the moment. But you've got the atmosphere, which I imagine being a night game as well. Surely tonight, the last couple of times I've been really disappointed. And I know it's really difficult for West Ham fans because of the stadium. But being a night game tonight, I'm expecting it to be quite hostile and difficult. And I'm looking forward to that aspect of it. Because for those who might have listened to the Q&A, I did mean to say it on the main podcast, the atmosphere at Nottingham Forest on Sunday was great. Best away game for atmosphere I've been to for a long time. And they've got after noise of you, mate. So step up, yeah?
Hopefully. I will give it the best go.
Sham, thanks so much. Give the guys a reminder where they can give you a follow.
Somewhat Twitter at FPL2Guys1Cup, or our podcast is at FPL underscore Happy Hour.
Good man. Give my love to Rob, although I speak to him on Slack every fucking day anyway. cheers, Rob. Can you give me a bit more time, please, Rob? Thanks, Rob. Thanks, Rob. Love you, mate. I'm going to do a stream for you guys tomorrow, scheduled for 3 o'clock. If we get beat, I might just cancel it and take the fucking day off. No, I'll be there. Probably be 3 o'clock-ish if you want to join in. Thank you again to Sham. Can you Spurs? Cue music, man child. No, that's... Can you Spurs? Cue music, man child. Football Show.